and he's been a guest on numerous occasions, so happy to have the president of the Connecticut Coalition Against Crumbling Basements, Tim Heim, on the show. Tim, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. How was the drive to our studios this
I came
morning?
Up from North Haven. As you know, I work third shift. Coming up from North Haven to Hartford, it was slippery. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to take your time and use common sense. And, you know, I've always said I want to win the race. I just want to finish the race.
Yeah.
That's all.
I hear you. Sure.
So not bad from Hartford to here.
Yeah.
So.
Now, since we last talked, the legislature passed a budget, which is now in deficit, but there was some action taken in regards to the crumbling basements. What happened?
Well, in the budget, there was $20 million for the next 5 years allocated to the crisis that we're dealing with in eastern Connecticut for the crumbling basements.
$20 million a year?
$20 million a year.
Okay.
Now, what needs to happen now is from October 31st, they had 30 days. There was a deadline to pick five incorporators, and the incorporators, one from each side of the Senate, one from each side of the House, and then also a governor pick would be one of the incorporators. What the incorporators are going to do is they're going to pick a board of directors. You have, right now, you have the executive director of CROG, Capital Region of Governments. You have the executive director from NECOG, who are going to be board of directors. And then you're going to have five that the incorporators are going to pick, with two being available for affected homeowners. So you're going to have one from banking, one from insurance, one from the real estate, and then you're also going to have two homeowners on the board of directors. So I believe it's a total of seven. And what they're going to do is they're going to set up and implement the program, what percentage the money's going to cover for the basement repair. You know, you also have to look at how the work's going to be getting done. I was appointed by Len Fasano to the working group to look and set up quarry standards, and also to take a look at, be part of the group to see how the contractors are doing the work.
In general terms, Tim, how does the coalition feel about this particular settlement in the legislature?
Well, it took us 2.5 years to get to this point, and it's a start. It's a step in the right direction. It's not nearly enough money that we need. But, you know, here's a program that's going to be set up that's never been set up in the United States, or a problem that's never happened in the United States. So there's going to be some growing pains. The captive insurance, which the board of directors will create, is going to have to report to certain committees on how the money's being spent. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of eyes on this to make sure that there's no political funny business going on or mismanaged money during this program. So
now, this $20 million a year, is it going to be a loan, a grant? What is it going to be?
Well, this is a grant, and it's going to be just to replace the basement walls, floors, footings, you know, and that'll have to be part of the program, that the footings have to be replaced. The homeowner's going to have to pay for, you know, the landscaping, the shrubs, you know, the cosmetic part of it. This money would be allocated primarily just to get the structure of the home 100%, hopefully.
Obviously, there's got to be some kind of an application process. Is that correct?
Yeah, and what's also going to have to, you're going to have to find out and look at, you know, the 650 or so people that filed with DCP. You know, who's the worst of the worst? That's going to have to be created to take a look at, you know, what's the most efficient and quickest way to rate them on a 1 to 5, and getting the people that are going to be doing this, whether it's the building inspectors in each town, all on the same page with, you know, where does this problem rate? You know, you might think it's a 5, I might think it's a 3. So, that's definitely got to be part of the program.
Have the applications already started, or what's the timetable on that?
No, it hasn't started. There was a 30-day deadline,
right,
from October 31st. However, there is no deadline for the incorporators to pick the board of directors. And that was so people wouldn't rush and you know, just pick anybody to beat the deadline. I know Senator Tony Guglielmo is one of the incorporators, and he's going to be, and he's assured me, he's going to be pushing and making sure this moves forward and doesn't fall through the cracks. So, yeah, we got a lot of work ahead of us.
Yeah, but the flip side is there's got to be some kind of time frame, only because the basements continue to crumble.
Sure, sure. You know, and there's homes that really, really need to get fixed yesterday. So we need to keep the pressure on and keep the phone calls going and make sure that people are taking this seriously.
Now, take us through what's happening at the federal level, because Congressman Larson and Courtney had announced an arrangement with the IRS. So explain how that's different from what the state is doing.
Well, Congressman Joe Courtney and Congressman Larson were working very hard on a federal level for a casualty loss federal deduction. You know, so if you were to pay to get this fixed, you'd be able to deduct it on your federal taxes. That was taken out of the budget for next year. However, homeowners who had already gotten the work done, they can go back, I think it's three or four years, and they can amend their taxes and use it as a casualty loss. So
you're saying it was taken out of which budget?
The federal budget.
The federal budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And I think the president can, if he declares it as a catastrophic loss, that can still be used. But, you know, President Trump would have to sign off on that.
All right. I'm getting a bit confused now, because I had heard that was part of the Republican tax plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was taken out, from my understanding, for next year. But it was still implemented to where you could still amend it for the last 3 years.
Okay, because nothing has passed yet. They've got to go back and reintroduce that bill. It's in conference committee.
Okay.
So that has not been definitive.
Okay.
It's in conference committee. Supposedly they reached an agreement yesterday, and they're going to reveal the details today.
Oh, maybe it's in there.
Yeah, it's possible it's in there. Now, I had, to be fair, I had talked to Congressman Larson's office, and they had told me that even when this was being bantied about in the tax plan, that this would be taken out, that he and Representative Courtney were prepared to go right back to the IRS and say, wait a minute, you promised us this was going to be in there without any kind of presidential declaration.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're prepared to go back to the IRS and fight for this if it's not part of the Republican tax plan.
Sure. And like I said, if that fails, at least the homeowners in the past can at least still, declare that on there and amend their taxes for the last 3 years. So, It wouldn't be a total loss. Whether it helps one family or helps 1,000 families, I still support it. But, you know, we always hope for the best.
How critical a component is this in the overall recovery, the federal level?
Well, it's very important. It's another important piece to the puzzle because we're, you know, getting a little bit of help from here and a little bit of help from there. You know, and now we need FEMA. You know, now the fact that it's in Longmeadow and East Longmeadow affecting multi-million-dollar homes and that's just more ammunition to get FEMA involved.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in just a bit about what's happening in Massachusetts, because I know you were there recently and actually spoke to some groups. But in general terms, you feel it's going along okay now? You finally see some movement after years of stagnation on the government side?
I do. I finally feel that there's a sense of hope. Once again, you know, we've been working very hard for the last 2.5 years trying to make our voices heard, but we're finally being listened to. And we have a sense of hope again. And, you know, we have a long road ahead of us. You know, we got to set this program up. We got to make sure that it's set up correctly. We got to make sure that the people that need the help the quickest get the help. I know they have a victim advocate now in the Department of Housing, Pam Toohey. I feel that we're moving forward.
Okay, a lot more to talk about with our guest Tim Heim on this Thursday. Brad and Dan, let's have a quick rundown on sports. NBA, the Celtics beat the Denver Nuggets last night, 124-118. And tonight, it's the Knicks and the Nets in New York. NHL, the Rangers lost to Ottawa 3-2. The Dallas Stars outskated the New York Islanders 5-2, And it was the Bruins over the Detroit Red Wings in overtime, 3-2. NFL tonight, the Denver Broncos take on the Indianapolis Colts. Lottery numbers in Connecticut, the Lightning, 484. The Play 4, 2555. Cash 5, 7, 8, 11, 18, 21. Classic Lotto jackpot tomorrow is $1.5 million. Mega Millions tomorrow is $208 million. And the Powerball on Saturday, that jackpot is $250 million. There you go. Buy a Powerball ticket. You'll be all set.
I'll get everybody. I'll pay for everybody's foundation.
Oh, you heard that. You heard that. By the way, weather is an issue as far as the roads are concerned, and there are a lot of school delays. In Winchester, public schools are closed because that's of a water main break on Route 44 in Winchester, or Main Street in Winstead, which is, of course, within Winchester. So Main Street in Winstead, an issue this morning because of a water main break, and there is no school today in the Winchester Public School System. And we use that as our segue to get an update on traffic with Cindy Waitman. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. We do have heavy snow squalls, and that's already causing delays for you. 91 South exits 38 through I-84 through Windsor. 84 is going to be backing up in the area of Plainville out towards Hartford. Westbound side of 84 with very slick conditions through the hill towns, especially 384 is going to be busy through Manchester, and we're going to see some slowdowns on 2 West into the Founders Bridge. Metro North is on or close to schedule. Bradley International Airport with no major delays or cancellations, but you will want to check with your carrier. This report is brought to you by Connecticut Toyota Dealers. Take the road less traveled with Toyota's entire lineup of available all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive vehicles, whichever you choose. Adventure is included. Toyota, let's go places. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 7:07 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Thank you, Cindy, and we're back with our guest, Tim Heim. He is president of the Connecticut Coalition Against Crumbling Basements. Does the coalition meet on a regular basis?
Well, we meet. We try to meet monthly for the support groups. If not, we try to meet quarterly. Our next meeting, we had a meeting last month. There was over 600 people that attended, to hear about what the potential path of this program was going to be. I'm going to have another meeting come February, March to introduce the board of directors and the incorporators and to explain what the board of directors came up with as far as the percentages of what they're going to pay and how the program's going. So we try to keep everybody informed. Our website and our page is always updated with new information, articles, and what's going on in Massachusetts and Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we're gonna break in just a moment, and then we're going to come back and talk about what's happening in Massachusetts, because this is key. And I will say, because we have a couple of seconds here, that the fact that it has spread to Massachusetts might gain more federal attention for you, I would think, Tim.
Sure, absolutely. And they have the senators and representatives starting to get involved over in East Longmeadow and Longmeadow. You had a gentleman that did an article with actually NBC 30.
Yeah.
Len Bestoff went over there and did an article. And this is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And, we'll do anything in our power to support our friends and family over in Massachusetts.
So. Okay. Back with Tim Heim in just a moment on this snowy Thursday morning. But let's break for Your Money Now.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen says she and her colleagues expect a modest lift to economic growth from the tax cuts being proposed by President Trump and Republican lawmakers.
Well, changes in tax policy will likely provide some lift to economic activity in coming years. The magnitude and timing of the macroeconomic effects of any tax package remain uncertain.
Yellen says Fed officials expect the economy to grow 2.5% in 2018, but growth would then slip back closer to its recent 2% average. She also notes that any wage growth would likely stem from the low unemployment rates rather than the tax cuts. AT&T has reached a tentative deal with the union representing more than 21,000 of its wireless support and retail workers, ending a 10-month standoff over pay and work conditions. If ratified, the deal would create a new contract between the CWA and the telecom company. On Wall Street, futures modestly higher. That's your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Lisa Carberg here with Dr. Richard Fitchman. At the Fitchman Eye Center, we provide our patients state-of-the-art eye care in a comfortable, friendly environment.
And our laser-assisted cataract procedure delivers remarkable results. This revolutionary technique is the most advanced technology for cataract removal available.
Saw Dr. Fitchman, got examined, was so impressed with how he's so knowledgeable and so sincere and caring about the people he touches. Felt tremendously confident to go forward and have my eyes operated on. Just a terrific experience, and it's a life-changing event. I have 20/20 now. Going to Dr. Fitchman was the best choice I could have ever made. From the minute I walked in to the minute the procedure was done, they cared about me.
Call the Fitchman Eye Center today at 1-877-FICHMAN or visit us at FitchmanEyeCenter.com.
Laser-assisted cataract surgery at the Fitchman Eye Center. You can clearly see the difference.
News, weather, traffic, politics with Brad and Dan. This is the Brad and Dan Show on the Talk of Connecticut.
Our Channel 3 early warning weather: snow ends from west to east today by mid-morning with a total accumulation of a coating to 2 inches. There could be some isolated totals up to 3 inches in some places of southern Connecticut. Then becoming mostly sunny and windy, a high of 32, clear and cold overnight, a low of 10, partly sunny and cold tomorrow, a high of 30, 20 degrees in Hartford, 19 degrees in Enfield, and it is 19 degrees in Southington. Good morning. Welcome back to Brad and Dan. Brad is away for a few days. He'll be back next week. I'm Dan Lovallo, and we have Tim Heim, who is president of the Connecticut Coalition Against Crumbling Basements, in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. And also in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair today is State Representative Chris Davis. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
How are you?
This is State Representative Chris Davis.
Yeah, Representative Chris Davis with us. And Representative, how are you?
Good, good.
And Tim is here, too. Say good morning to Tim.
Good morning, Tim. I wanted to call in and publicly thank Tim for everything he's been able to accomplish for the victims of the crumbling foundations. I think without him and his coalition, we wouldn't be where we are today in trying to get assistance for these homeowners.
Representative, can you explain to us part of the process here with these incorporators? What's involved?
Well, the incorporators will be the ones that meet to essentially set up the captive insurance company that will be the main program to be able to provide assistance for these homeowners. So the incorporators actually will be getting together the organizing committee, as it's known, very soon to be able to sit down and start thinking about how we're going to structure the board of directors and how we're going to make those appointments to those positions.
Now, when you say insurance company, is the state forming its own insurance company?
Well, what the state did was authorize the creation of the insurance company and set out the guidelines for what that insurance company's board of directors would look like, what the insurance company can and cannot do, essentially. It is a private, nonprofit, captive insurance company that is being created. With a number of legislative appointments and gubernatorial appointments to the incorporators or to the board of directors, but the board of directors itself will actually manage the insurance company and help operate it.
So are the incorporators separate from the board of directors, or is that one and the same?
They're separate. The incorporators, much like any other corporation that gets set up, you need individuals that are going to be the ones that make the initial filings of paperwork and set up boards of directors and get the ball moving, and that's really what the intention of the incorporators are.
Do we know who the incorporators are?
I am one of them. I was the appointment from Representative Semis Claridis. I believe Senator Austin is the Senate Democratic appointment, Senator Guglielmo, Senator Fasano's appointment. I'm not sure who the individual is for the House Democratic appointment, but I understand he is someone from the insurance industry. And I believe as of yesterday, we were still awaiting the governor's appointment to those incorporators. And then once we have all those people in place, we can finally meet and start putting the whole process together.
Okay, so you haven't met yet?
Not yet.
Are you holding then? Are you waiting for the governor to make his appointment then? Is that the holdup?
I mean, it's part of it. I mean, we have to have the whole team together, right, to be able to make those decisions.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's really a situation where the organizing committee was also put together, and those are kind of, they're in an advisory role. And I know in our cases, like Representative Curry from East Hartford will serve on that. Representative Tom Delnicki from South Windsor, he's going to serve on that as well. And there's a few other appointments. So those individuals will help guide us in hopefully making the right decisions as to how to set up the company and how to appoint those boards of directors.
Now, you're a realtor, so obviously you work in the private sector. What's the input you're getting, or what's the feedback you're getting from people in Eastern Connecticut from where you operate as far as this particular program is concerned?
Well, I think it's the light at the end of the tunnel type of situation where finally, and I think Tim had mentioned this earlier, that there's some hope that that this program will be able to help homeowners that have it now, but also those homeowners that potentially either don't know that they have it, or those that purchase a home that doesn't have an issue known at the time and then end up developing the problem in years to come. So I think it's a positive step forward for most people to recognize that we're actually going to have something in place that provides at least some assistance, if not an entire funding for fixing your basement.
Now, that's an interesting observation, because what does happen if someone buys a home and down the road this problem develops? Let's say it doesn't show up now in a house inspection, but then down the road the foundation starts to crumble. What happens?
Well, that's the fear that I think most of us have, is that, you know, they were pouring foundations until December 2015. So there's the possibility, and a very strong possibility, that perhaps there's homes that have no idea that they have the issue, have no idea that the company in question poured their foundation, and, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, they'll come up with this issue finally literally breaking through in their basement. So the idea is that one of the reasons why it was created as a nonprofit captive insurance company is because that can exist outside of state government for that, you know, long period of time and be made available to homeowners for hopefully many years to come, to be able to provide that kind of funding and assistance to fix their basement.
Okay. Representative, anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think that's you know, the start of things. We'll see in the coming weeks how the board of directors get structured and how we're able to actually incorporate the company. And again, I just want to thank Tim and for everything that he's done to bring this to our attention as legislators, but also of the public, and for all the hard work he's done on behalf of the other homeowners that are facing this this terrible issue.
Okay. Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks very much for spending some time with us this morning, and a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays to you and your family.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and Tim's as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Welcome. Take care. Well, running out of time during this segment. Where does the time go, Tim? I mean, a half hour already in the books.
I'm telling you, I need a whole afternoon with you. I'd love to spend the day with you.
We'll have to do that one of these days again. We're going to take a break. We've got news at the top of the hour. Back with Tim Heim. Also joining us after the 7:30 news, Brian Baker, South Park Inn, and Dave Sarlito, Ocean State Job Lots. And we're going to be talking about coats, warm coats, and care packages for homeless vets. All coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Don't go away.
WDRC AM, WDRC FM, HD3 Hartford, WSNG Torrington, WWCO Waterbury, WMMW Meriden, The Brad and Dan Show, presented by Footprint Shoes and Accessories.
House and Senate Republicans have worked out their differences on tax reform. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
We want to give you, the American people, a giant tax cut
for Christmas.
Fox's John Decker live at the White House.
President Trump praised the legislation that he says would benefit both the middle class and corporate America.
And it makes America competitive again, so we can bring back that simple but beautiful phrase, you've heard it before, made in the USA.
Republican leaders plan to hold an initial procedural vote on Monday, a final Senate vote Tuesday, and then send the measure to the House for final passage. If passed, this will be the first major piece of legislation signed by President Trump. Dave?
John, not a single Democrat supports this. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi.
Robbing the future, ripping off the middle class. And why? To reward their friends. Corporate America.
The plan cuts corporate tax rates from 35% to 21%. It also lowers personal income tax brackets. The top rate drops to 37%. The standard deduction would double. And for taxpayers who itemize, it allows up to $10,000 in state and local tax write-offs. The House Ethics Committee's named an investigative subcommittee probing sexual harassment allegations against Republican Congressman Blake Fahrenthold and a settlement paid to one of his aides. A Republican state representative in Kentucky who was accused of sexually assaulting a teenage girl 4 years ago is dead. Dan Johnson apparently shot himself, found by the side of a road last night. 2 days ago, Johnson, a pastor, said for this from his church pulpit.
This allegation concerning this lady, this young girl, absolutely has no merit.
He said it was part of a strategy to defeat conservatives. Tavis Smiley's talk show is on hold. PBS has suspended distribution, citing multiple credible allegations of sexual misconduct. Smiley replied on Facebook.
That I have never groped, inappropriately exposed myself, or coerced any colleague in the workplace ever.
Fox News, fair and balanced.
All money managers may seem pretty much the same. But while some money managers may recommend high commission investment products, Fisher Investments avoids them. Some money managers may have hidden and layered fees. Fisher Investments never does. And while some money managers are happy to earn commissions from you, whether you do well or not, Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when you do better. In other words, we're structured to be on your side. Maybe that's why most of our clients come to us from other money managers. Talk with us and find out why so many experienced investors are switching to and staying with Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments, clearly better money management. Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Visit us at FisherInvestments.com to find out what we can do for you.
The head of the Federal Reserve expects tax reform to give the economy a small boost.
We tend to provide some modest lift to GDP growth in the coming years.
Fed Chair Janet Yellen, after also announcing the third interest rate hike this year. On Wall Street, stock futures are rising the day after the Dow gained 80 points, hitting another record high. The FCC will take a vote today on an issue that's generated protests from people who don't want regulators to get rid of what's called net neutrality.
Net neutrality, or the demand that internet providers make no attempt to block or slow down access to any consumer or content creator, has been the FCC's doctrine since President Obama. But the new commission chief, Ajit Pai, sees net neutrality as too restrictive on a private enterprise.
We want all kinds of companies, not the startups of the future, to be able to invest and innovate on the web. And the best way to do that is to ensure that everybody has the freedom to pursue a business plan that will serve the consumers well.
Proponents of the existing neutrality rules say the internet should be treated more like a public utility. Equal access, equal cost, no special favor. Eben Brown, Fox News.
Now sports. The Rockets keep streaking. Houston hasn't lost yet when Chris Paul plays.
Paul for three. Yes! At the buzzer! CP3 for three.
That was at the end of the first quarter. Paul ended up with 31 points, leading Houston past Charlotte on ESPN. The Rockets' 11th straight win. Kyrie Irving scored 30, leading the Boston Celtics past the Denver Nuggets. The Chicago Bulls won their fourth straight game after starting the season 3-20. In college, top-ranked Villanova stayed undefeated, beating Temple. In baseball, the Marlins keep selling off, trading away another player, this time reportedly dealing Marcell Ozuna to the Cardinals. He's the third All-Star Miami's traded away since getting new ownership. And the Detroit Tigers traded Ian Kinsler to the LA Angels. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Mark Zinni for Channel 3 Eyewitness News. A woman charged with trying to steal the notes of a right-wing commentator at UConn has thanked her supporters for helping her fight, quote, racism and fascism. Catherine Gregory took papers from a lectern as writer Lucian Wintrich prepared to speak last month. She's charged with attempted larceny and disorderly conduct and was in court yesterday but did not enter a plea. Three more workers have been fired following allegations of patient abuse at the Whiting Forensic Division of Connecticut Valley Hospital in Middletown. The trio's among the 10 staff members arrested for mistreating patients. Police say the allegations range from taunting to physical abuse. Quinnipiac University is revoking an award given to veteran broadcaster Charlie Rose. Rose was accused of sexual misconduct by 8 women and has since been fired by CBS. He was given the Fred Friendly First Amendment Award last year, but now Rose's name will no longer be associated with the school or the award. In Washington, congressional aides say negotiators have removed several controversial provisions from sweeping tax legislation, including one that would have eliminated the deductions for interest on student loans and another deduction for medical expenses. Two congressional aides also say the bill will no longer start taxing graduate school tuition waivers. Meanwhile, this morning, a new study by the website Student Loan Hero found Connecticut is one of the worst states to live in if you have student loans. Connecticut is ranked the third worst state in the nation, with the average student loan debt here around $32,000. That's the news on the Talk of Connecticut. Have a great day, everybody. I'm Mark Zinni, Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
Yanni, with his spectacular orchestra, performing live at the Acropolis in all its majesty and beauty. One night only. Friday, May 11th, Toyota Oakdale Theater, powered by Xfinity. A powerful 25-year celebration. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Oakdale.com. Yanni, with his spectacular orchestra, Acropolis 25, live.
For all you baby boomers out there, born between 1945 and 1965, listen up. There's some important news that may surprise you. Did you know that 1 in 30 baby boomers has hepatitis C? That's right, 1 in 30 boomers. And most don't even know it. It's important because Hep C is a serious virus that can hide in the body for years, even decades, with no symptoms. If left untreated, Hep C can lead to liver damage, and it's the leading cause of liver cancer. Here's something else you should know. The CDC recommends all baby boomers get tested for Hep C. A simple, one-time test is all it takes. And if you have Hep C, it can be cured. So ask your healthcare provider about getting tested for Hep C today. It's the only way to know for sure. To learn more, visit HepCFacts.com or call 844-9-HEP-C-FACTS. Brought to you by Gilead Sciences.
Good morning. Watch out on 84 West into exit 37 at the end of the off-ramp on Finneman Road by the Marriott. We are now getting word of a crash. We have heavy snow squalls from Plainville to Hartford. Slick conditions out there overall. Definitely a morning to take it extra slow. 91 South is backing up exits 38 into I-84 because of the snow squalls. And also 691 is going to be a rough ride over Meriden Mountain. Metro North is on or close to schedule. Bradley International Airport with no major delays or cancellations, but you will want to check with your carrier. And also, we've got that broken water main, Route 44, down to one lane with alternating traffic in the area of Whiting Street in the center of Winsted. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 7:15 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Our Channel 3 early warning weather: snow ends from west to east by mid-morning with a total accumulation of a coating to 2 inches. There could be some isolated totals up to 3 inches in some places of southern Connecticut, and then becoming mostly sunny and windy, a high of 32. Clear and cold tonight, a low of 10. Partly sunny and cold tomorrow, a high of 30. 20 degrees Hartford, 19 degrees Weathersfield, 20 degrees in Windsor Locks. Good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan. Brad is away for a few days. He'll be back next week. We'll be rejoined by Tim Heim in just a moment, but I want to talk to you about New Balance shoes. You know I wear them. You know Brad wears them. And they have locations at Evergreen Walk, South Windsor, and the Avon Marketplace, Route 44 in Avon. Owned by Michael DeCibio. That's right, locally owned. Now, I know Brad wears the New Balance 928 shoes made of real leather. The shoe is special, extra wide, 9.5, 6E, a roomier toe box, and it's designed with a special sole. It has a roll bar so that it gives you more foot and ankle support, keeps the ankles from rolling, keeps you steadier on your feet, reduces the risk of falling, and gives you much more comfort. Both locations have an on-site customer repair and design workshop. Evergreen Walk South Windsor, Avon Marketplace, Route 44 in Avon. And both locations have an immense inventory. Men's, women's, children's shoes, running, walking, tennis, soccer, baseball, and golf shoes. Unique sizes, special custom fits, all available on site. New Balance shoes. Locations at Evergreen Walk South Windsor, Avon Marketplace, Route 44, Avon. Well, back in studio with us is Tim Heim. Tim is in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair, president of the Connecticut Coalition Against Crumbling Basements. You know what's going on in eastern Connecticut. But, Tim, you recently went to Massachusetts to speak because apparently this problem is spreading to that state. What can you tell us about it?
We did. Well, we've known for a while that the problem crossed state lines into East Longmeadow, Longmeadow, Wales, Ware, Munson. You know, when FEMA visited my home over the summer, I had a couple attend our meeting with FEMA and the Army Corps of Engineers. So we've known all along, but the problem is nobody actually really stood up and got the attention from the media that needs to happen. So there was a gentleman over in East Longmeadow, that spoke in front of the Board of Selectmen in his town and explained about the issue. And, you know, in this certain area of Massachusetts or in this neighborhood, the basements are sheetrocked, so you don't see the basement walls. So I guess he had the boiler. There was a problem with the boiler, and there was water all over the floor, so they had to remove some of the sheetrock, and that's when he had discovered the issue. So, you know, he went in front of the Board of Selectmen in his town, and also Len Bestoff from NBC 30 here in Connecticut did a story over there, and now it's getting the attention that it deserves. They're getting, there's a senator that's also involved, and I know our legislators and our elected officials over here, Tony Guglielmo has reached over to their senators over in that area, and you know, it's just another component to the importance of our case for, you know, FEMA.
Now, was it determined that these basements contain the mineral pyrrhotite?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, it's still got to get tested, but it's still showing the signs. And we know that the concrete company went over there and did pour concrete in this neighborhood. And from what Russell had told me, the victim over in Massachusetts, that his builder, that was the only concrete company he used, was J.J. Modis. So, you know, I think it's most important that people make their voices heard. You know, ignoring this problem, it's not going away. And you know, power in numbers, and you need to join together and become a community with a strong voice. And, you know, that's where you make progress, and that's where you get results.
Is there any idea the number of homes affected in East Longmeadow, Munson, that area?
I have no idea. It could be thousands. It could be thousands. So to get a number at this point, it's still kind of early. But you know, we need people to come out and you know, it's okay. It's going to be okay. It's okay. Nothing you did wrong. It's a very unfortunate situation. You will not be able to sell your house, and now's the time to make your voice heard.
Has the Massachusetts legislature addressed this issue yet, do you know?
Not that I'm aware of. I think they're starting to get involved and be aware of this. I did reach out to some of the legislators earlier in the week to try to, you know, join forces. I know, you know, anything they need, any help from Connecticut, they'll get it from our legislators and senators. You know, anything we can do to help them, help us, you know, get some FEMA attention, we're there for them.
And again, there might be people who still don't know what's at issue here, but it involves this mineral that was found in a particular quarry. Describe this again for our audience who, after all this time, perhaps still don't know what's going on.
Sure, and it's a mineral called pyrrhotite, and it was found in Becker's Quarry in Willington, Connecticut. And what happened was that was mixed in the aggregate, which was mixed in the concrete. And what happens over, you know, 10, 15, 20 years is it causes a chemical reaction, and it oxidizes with air and moisture. And then eventually what happens is you start to get horizontal cracking. And they get wider and wider as time goes on. And it actually lifts your house completely. You know, I've been in homes that were 6 inches off the lolly columns. And, you know, it causes weak and stress points in the basement wall and eventually collapses.
It's unbelievable. I mean, people cannot, unless they've actually seen it with their own eyes,
sure.
You can't believe it.
No, you can't. You can't believe it. And it's only happened 3 places in the world. Well, actually 4 now that Massachusetts
right.
is involved.
So. And the other 2, Canada and
Ireland.
And Ireland.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Let's take a quick look at sports. We're in the NBA last night. The Celtics defeated the Denver Nuggets 124-118. The Nets host the Knicks tonight at 7:30. NHL, Ottawa defeated the Rangers 3-2. The Islanders fell to the Dallas Stars 5-2. And the Bruins were 3-2 overtime winners over the Detroit Red Wings. There's an NFL game tonight. The Indianapolis Colts visit the Denver Broncos. Lottery numbers in Connecticut, the nightly 484, the play 4, 2, 5, 5, 5, cash 5, 7, 8, 11, 18, 21. Classic Lotto jackpot tomorrow is $1.5 million, and the Mega Millions jackpot tomorrow is $208 million, and then the Powerball on Saturday, that jackpot is worth $250 million. Again, the weather is an issue. Roads are not in the greatest of shape. Take your time. There are numerous school delays across the entire state. And again, I can tell you that Winchester Public Schools closed today because of a water main break on Route 44 in Winchester, or Winstead, Main Street, Winstead, water main break, leading to no schools today in Winchester. Let's get that traffic update now from Cindy Waitman. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. It is going to be a rough ride out there, very slippery conditions. You need to take it easy and give yourself the extra time that you need to get where you're going. 84 West, we've got a crash working at the end of the on-ramp by Finneman Road over by the Marriott. 2 westbound snow squalls and slippery conditions, so take it easy out there between Glastonbury and East Hartford. Also, 84 with heavy snow squalls from Plainville to Hartford. You're going to have rough conditions getting over Meriden Mountain, and watch out for an accident in New Haven on Chapel Street in the area of Ferry Street. That is a car versus a bull crash with detours on the side streets. And Andover on Route 6, car versus a box truck at Jonathan Trumbull Highway. And this report is brought to you by Compassion International. Becoming a child sponsor with Compassion International can change the world one child at a time. Find out how at compassion.com/radio. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 7:34 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Thank you, Cindy. Our Talk of Connecticut Channel 3 early warning weather, snow ending from west to east by mid-morning with a total accumulation of a coating to 2 inches. There could be some isolated totals up to 3 inches in southern Connecticut, then becoming mostly sunny and windy, a high of 32. Clear and cold tonight, a low of 10. Tomorrow, partly sunny and cold, a high of 30 degrees. We have a temperature of 20 degrees in Hartford, 19 degrees in Newington, and it is 21 degrees in East Hartford. Well, if you awoke tired this morning and figured, man, I didn't get a good night's sleep. What's going on here? You probably don't have My Pillow. I get a great night's sleep every night, and I credit My Pillow. No more headaches when I awake, no more neck aches. What a great time to give a My Pillow for a holiday gift, because My Pillow has its best offer ever. Buy one My Pillow and get one absolutely free. Just go to MyPillow.com and use promo code WDRC. This is the gift that keeps on giving. 100% machine washable and dryable. That's right. You can wash it, dry it, and it's like new. I know. I've washed My Pillow. I have dried My Pillow. Plus, you get a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just in time for the holidays. Take advantage of this best offer ever by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special, and use promo code WDRC. Also, you can call 800-659-1135 and ask for the Buy One, Get One Free special using promo code WDRC. And you can also use our promo code to get up to 50% off of all items on the MyPillow website, MyPillow.com. Back with Tim Heim and our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair, President of the Connecticut Coalition Against Crumbling Basements. I guess there's money set aside, money allocated, Tim. Right now, if people can have their basements, their foundations tested, what's involved here?
Sure. The governor allocated $5 million for testing reimbursements, which CROG, the Capital Region of Governments, is managing. So right now, if you were to call an engineer and have them come out to your house and take a look at your basement walls and your floors, which is an average of $400, $450, you will get reimbursed the full $400 for the testing or the visual inspection. And you will get, if you're not showing any signs and you want to get it core tested, which means, you know, drilling a couple cores, 6-inch cores from your basement wall and sending them to get tested, you will be able to get reimbursed. I believe it's up to $1,750 of that. You know, just like anything else, you have people that are charging $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for core testing. So I know that, you know, I've been working with Trinity College since May, giving them samples that I know have peridotite, samples that don't, and we're trying to come up with a more affordable means of testing so, you know, the victims won't become victimized again and again. So,
right.
So you know, the governor did allocate that, so I do give him credit for that. And, you know, eventually at some point, too, I think in legislation, any house being bought and sold within a 20 or 30 mile radius of the concrete company should be mandated to be tested for core testing, because that's the only way you're really going to know if you have it or not. And, you know, the last thing you want is a couple right out of college that just got married to buy a home and then find out 10 years later that they have the issue. So there's a lot of things that need to be implemented to put an end all to this issue.
Now, is there paperwork they have to fill out? How do they go about applying to get this inspection?
Well, you got to go on the CROG site, and I don't know what the website is, but it's Capital Region of Governments.
Okay.
And, you know, you can go on there, and if you there's a list. And even if you go on our website, there's a list of engineers mm-hmm. that have been doing these visual inspections and are familiar with the issue. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a start. It's definitely a start. You know, we do have contractors that are coming in from out of state. I know I did see there was a contractor out of Michigan that's coming up with some type of precast fiberglass composite walls that they're using in certain homes. And you know, I think it's important that, you know, if there is another company, we know that replacing bad concrete with good concrete works. And if somebody's coming to the state of Connecticut with a new idea, I would be open to listening. But I want to see it. I want to see a home you did 10 or 15 years ago.
Right.
Or 20 years ago.
Don't be using Connecticut as a guinea pig.
We do not want to be a guinea pig. And you know, it's very important that that's got to be part of the program. If it does work, and it might, but I want to see it. You know, I want to see a house that was done 15, 20 years ago and still standing.
How are the victims doing right now? I mean, you mentioned how it's been so stressful that people have a difficult time sleeping at night. You can't talk about it with your wife. Now that there seems to be some progress and you interact with the victims on almost a daily basis, how are they doing?
I think they're doing better. You know, Representative Vail, Representative Delanicki, Jeff Curry, Representative Davis, Tony Guglielmo, Kathy Austin, they've been all working hard. They speak to the victims. They talk to the victims. They've worked real hard for us. You know, over the summer, after I had done one of the shows, one of your shows, I received a call from a woman who the radon levels were so high in their basement. They had to drain their entire retirement to get this issue fixed. And I remember her saying, you know, Tim, there's a lot of heroes helping us right now, but my number one hero is my husband, who's 74 years old, and he went back to work full time to support his family. And I'll never forget that.
Whoa.
And, you know, so this program that Joe Courtney's working on, this will help her. and her husband and her family, you know, amend their taxes and get a federal tax reduction. So it might not help everybody, but it's helping some people, and that's important. So everybody has a sense of a hope. You know, you're not going to please everybody, and there's always going to be a critic, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good people working hard and fighting the good fight with their heart, and their heart's in it. So, you know, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and the middle class matter in this state, and you know, we're gonna stick together and continue to help ourselves and help Massachusetts also.
I know you have some friends of the program who listen and who've been victims, unfortunately, of this. Say hello.
Well, I'd like to say hello to Mr. Clyde Smith and Nancy Smith. Yeah. I know they listen to your show every morning. They were my neighbors. They were also victims, and they moved over to Bristol. So I want to give them a big shout-out and say hello, good morning to them both. So.
Well, good morning, and thanks for listening to the program, by the way.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, you think about if nothing is done here, Tim, and finally there seems to be some movement. How do you sell your home? How do you attract people to move to the area? You mentioned a scenario, and it's likely to happen. A young couple buys a home not realizing this is their life's investment. They just got married. Now they're living their dream. They buy a home not knowing that the foundation could be crumbling literally and figuratively under them if something's not done about this problem.
Sure. And we need to address that. And like I had mentioned earlier, you know, it needs to be mandated through legislation or which direction it needs to be mandated that, you know, if a home's being bought and sold in Eastern Connecticut, you need to get it core tested, and you need to prove that it's pyrrhotite free. Although we do not know at the current time how much pyrrhotite is too much. Mm. What we do know is that if you remove the mineral pyrrhotite from the equation, you remove the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So not all concrete has pyrrhotite in it.
Right.
So, you know, that's another piece of the puzzle added to the equation that we need to look at.
Well, how accurate is this core testing? Can you determine by taking just a small sample that the concrete contains pyrrhotite?
Sure. Sure you can. You know, you can, what Trinity's doing, I believe it's you have a couple different tests. You have a petrographic testing, and then you also have a type of magnetic testing that I believe is what Trinity's working on. And you could take samples, and, you know, I took samples from my warehouse down in North Haven and a warehouse in Hartford, and there's no pyrrhotite in it. You know, I've gotten samples from homes that were getting the work done, and it comes up positive for pyrrhotite. You know, I've gotten samples from sidewalks negative on pyrrhotite. So I've given them 25 samples, and they're working real hard with the students on this. So it's good to get them involved because they want to be part of the solution and helping out the communities.
Have we learned any more about bridges and infrastructure the eastern part of the state? Because I know that was an issue in one of the towns.
Yeah, it was an issue. I believe it was Coventry. I have not heard of anything since, but I'm sure once this program's up and running and we really dig deep into this, you know, we're going to find out a lot more with the bridges. And you know, is there any bridges in Massachusetts that have concrete? You know, now that you mention it.
My goodness, I think about what could happen here. And, well, it needs to be at the federal level attended to. Maybe they've started. I don't know what's going to happen with the result of this tax bill and what you can do from a deduction standpoint. We'll have to keep an eye on that.
Sure.
But this could very well be a problem, and it's obviously now extending beyond Connecticut, and who knows where it might lead. You just don't know.
We don't know. But, you know, I'm pretty confident and pleased that we're making the progress that we've made. It's a step in the right direction, and we need to keep moving forward.
Well, stay in touch, and I know you'll be back, and we'd love to have you on the program because
you
keep our audience updated on what's happening, and it's all of our problems. It really is.
Yes, it is.
It's all of the state's problems.
Yes, it is.
So we'll keep updated. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to
Merry
you,
Christmas.
Your family, and the Coalition.
Thank you very much, and to all your listeners, and to Brad and Dan, thank you for having me. Merry Christmas.
Terrific. Thank you. We're going to take a break, be back with Brian Baker and Dave Sarlito as Brad and Dan continues following the news. Stay tuned.